Vi skal reise en tur til Piemonte, og der skal vi smake på en drue som kanskje ikke hører hjemme der. Vi får se. Hei og hjertelig velkommen til en ny episode av Kjells vinkjeller. Og sammen med deg, Tom og Marati Løvås, så har vi besøk I studio, og det alltid hyggelig.
Det alltid hyggelig, og særlig fra Italia, da, selvfølgelig, og Piemonte I særdeleshet.
Ja.
Du har akkurat vært der, du.
For 2 dager siden så kom jeg hjem fra den lille landsbyen som disse her lager vin I, så jeg har aldri vært bedre forberedt.
Ja, men det gleder vi oss til, ja. Faktisk, at så, du litt forberedt.
Problemet at kanskje da, jeg har veldig lyst til å si alt, men det kan vi ikke gjøre, for at vi har jo en gjest som skal få lov å blomstre I denne ja. Lille avdelingen.
Vi har en gjest, og hun skal få være I sentrum, så vi slår over på utenlandsk nå. So, welcome to the show, Gaia from Piemonte.
Hello, thank you so much.
How are you?
Thank you. All good.
You are representing the Pecchinino.
Pecchinino, yes.
Pecchinino producer. And can you just give us a very short intro for what you are representing?
Yes, sure. So I'm Gaia Pecchinino. I'm one of the daughters of the owners. We are a family business. So at the moment, it's myself and my 2 sisters. So the 4th generation working together with my father and my uncle who represented the 3rd generation. So 2 generation for the moment working together. We are based in Piemonte, more precisely in Dogliani, where we have our historical winery. Dogliani is a few kilometers from Monforte Barolo, so the Barolo area. As I was saying, we are now the 4th generation, but our winery kind of dates back to the end of the 20th century with my father's grandfather. Back then it was, you know, making wine just for supporting financially the family, so it wasn't really the focus of making a business of it. And then besides that, my father's grandfather and then afterwards my grandfather, it was, yes, making wine, it wasn't really as a business. Besides that, they were also taking care of animals. So the focus wasn't really on the quality of it. I still remember like going with my grandfather feeding the animals, you know, the pigs and the chickens, or making the bread on a Saturday night, which was still really fun. And I still have really great memories of it. It was then with my father and my uncle that the shift moved from, you know, quantity from quality. And so it's with that, it's with them that we really started making a business. We bought the estate, the historical winery where we are now in Dogliani in 1996, more or less. And then from 1999, we are there. So Dogliani, it's mainly famous for the Dolcetto production. We were born as dolcettisti, so producers of Dolcetto. Around the main estate, we have, of course, Dolcetto vineyards, some Nebbiolo and some Barbera. But then within time, we decided to invest a bit more also around us. So from 2000, we decided to invest inside the Barolo area, more precisely in Monforte d'Alba, to make indeed the Barolo. So from 2013, we bought a second winery, which is a bit smaller, and it's mainly used for the production of Barolo. So we move around these 2 areas. And then lately, we also decided to invest a bit more on the southern part of Piemonte, which is called Alta Langa. So as the name suggests, Alta means higher. We are a bit higher compared to Barolo Monforte. So there we have a fresh climate. This is also due because of climate change. We were aiming at more altitude and fresher climate. So over there, we have also some Chardonnay, some Pinot and some Riesling. So we make white wines from that region. So I would say that Dogliani kind of represents our past, but not meaning that we don't look at it anymore. It just represents our deep roots. Then Barolo, it's was our second project, which kind of represented the present. It's kind of closed at the moment because we are not aiming at growing in that area. As for the Alta Langa, I think it kind of represents our future because there are lots of investments in this area, many actors to be planning. So yes, we move around these three areas in Piemont.
Of course, you make the Dolcetto. That's the local, the old grape.
Yes.
And you make the Barolo. That's the powerhouse of the grape. But I think it's really cool because you Riesling and Chardonnay is not used that much in this era, is it?
No, it's not. When you think about Piemont, you might think more about red wines, not really white ones. But as I was saying, yes, we were looking for, a different region to make white wines. We were aiming at a fresher climate and we found this area, which in the past was really poor. So it was many people left this area to go to the cities. And then afterwards, with the climate change, we kind of rediscovered this area, which is also really interesting because the landscape is completely different from the Bassa Langa, so Barolo Monforte. And if you go there, you can see that there are really steep hills, still lots of crops, hazelnuts, woods. So it's an investment, it's a project, it's something that I think is going to call a lot of attention also from the press, from the outside. So I think, yes, it's going to improve in the future.
We are going to soon try your Chardonnay. Do you also make sparkling?
Yes, we do. From the same area, we have, as I was saying, Pinot and Chardonnay vineyards. We make two Alta Langa. So Alta Langa is the name of the area, but also is the appellation for this sparkling wine, which is a classic method. So the same way as making champagne. I think it's a really interesting wine. It has really good quality, value for money. And yes, it's a good expression of this area as well. Something to try out, different from other, sparkling wines from Italy.
You have also a quite extensive range of other wines that we are not going to try today. But can you tell us about, because of course you have the Barolo, that's the highest level thing you have, but you also have the Lange Nebbiolo called the Botti, and you have the Barbera that you call the Quas. How do you feel about those two in particular?
So as for the Barbera, it's a small production for the moment. It's one of the autochthonous varieties in Piemont. So, of course, we wanted also to have a representation of this varietal. As all the Barbera, it's really fruity, good acidity. It's really, really drinkable. Lange Nebbiolo comes from Dogliani, so the vineyards are around our estates. It's our entry level. It's indeed a representation of Nebbiolo from our area. And again, it's our entry level, therefore really fruity, nice fruity notes, violets, crispy tannins, but it's a really immediate version of a Nebbiolo. A bit different, of course, from a Barolo, but I would say it has still nice complexity. Of it, and it's one of the biggest production for us besides Dolcetto at the moment, so we work really well with this wine as well because it's really direct and you can hint of it.
That's very interesting to hear your description of all the wines that we know the direction they are moving in, but of course to hear what you think is also very interesting. And Kjell Gabriel, you have already pulled up a bottle of a white wine now.
I'm almost ready here. Let's see that.
Yeah, the sound is outstanding.
The sound of God.
So this is a Chardonnay.
Yes.
And as we were talking about it earlier, that's not the most common grapes that you find in Piemont, is it?
Yes, it's unusual to have a Chardonnay from Piemont. But as I was saying, we wanted to have some white wines In that area, and we found that Chardonnay can really express well in this area. It might be a bit different from a Chardonnay you might have. It's not really buttery, because we want to give and to kind of the same profile for all our whites. So we look for freshness in it. We don't aim at too much vanilla flavors, so we don't use lots of woods. But I would say that's still a really interesting Chardonnay that really expresses our style of making the wine, the region, the area, and yes, lots of fruits, lots of flowers. Yes, it's a really lively Chardonnay.
But is this moving towards Chardonnay, Riesling, Pinot Noir? Is it because a little bit because of global warming?
Yes, of course, it is playing a really important role. Going for an international variety is also because the winemaker, who is my father, it's really into this kind of varieties. So it's mainly the climate change, of course, but also it's a choice of my father, who is indeed the winemaker. So, yes.
Well, while you were talking, I was tasting.
Good.
Yeah. And well, on the nose, it's so textbook Chardonnay. Without having the oiliness that sometimes are coming, it's very fresh and it's very distinct in the expression.
Yeah,
I love that. And I have to say, when I tasted it, the acidity in this wine is over the top. It's really marvelous.
In choosing Chardonnay, is it because you have the Naschetta in Nebbiolo, you have Freixa, you have Arneis, you have all these local white grapes, Muscato for the more sweeter one. But is the area also going more towards this kind of type of wine?
Yes.
It's not only you that make Chardonnay in
No, there are few producers now making Chardonnay. Well, we started with making the sparkling wine. So as for the Alta Langa, the only two grape varietals accepted are Chardonnay and Pinot. And since we had some Chardonnay there, we also tried to experiment in making pure Chardonnay. And we found that, we can make also really good Chardonnay in this area.
But what do the old Italian local Piemontese guy that's all about tradition say when you bring in an international grape?
I think there's also a change in the mentality in Piemont. When I think about my grandfather generation, like, we really struggled with that. They were really close-minded. And also, I still remember when my father told him, I want to buy some lands in Barolo. He got really angry about that because he couldn't really foresee the potential of it. So I think that over the years, there's been a really changing in that. People are more open to also try out different things. I think there's also more exchange within other winemakers. So yes, of course, things are changing over there as well.
I just came home from your area. both of your cities I visited like 2 days ago. And I ate a lot of good food because you have Michelin restaurants all over the place. What do you make? What food do you pair this with?
Well, of course, fish. No, that's a tricky question.
Yeah, because
I haven't thought about it.
All the other things you have, like Dogliano, Barbera, Dolcetto Barbera goes to pasta, pizza, and the Barolo goes to the more steak thing.
Yeah.
When you go to this acidity white wine, do you have any local thing that you're paired with, or is it more an international thing?
Yes, mainly international.
Yeah.
You know what I think about, what I really like about that you might try the wine with something you wouldn't expect it with, and then you find out that it pairs really well. I also like Chardonnay with some pasta, of course. And then, of course, it's always up to what you like and what you don't like. There are also some international locals in our area that sell pretty well the Chardonnay or the Riesling because it has this really nice acidity that goes well with those kind of foods. But yeah.
Because the acidity is really, really, really good.
It is, isn't it?
It's good. They have this lime citrus tones and really, really high.
It
good
really
acidity.
Cleans your mouth.
Yeah. You have so many Michelin star restaurants in your area that probably can make some extraordinary food to this as well.
Yes, indeed. They experiment as well with the foods.
For this one, I'm right now I'm starting to crave for some oysters or or you know, a bit sweeter seafood, shellfish on the sweeter side. That would be perfect with this one.
I think so as well. Thank you so much for coming here and joining us with your fabulous wines. Next time we're going to taste the Riesling, and then the next time we after that we're going to take the Barbera, and then we're going to taste so many good wines. But I think it's really cool that you can bring a wine from a dominant red wine area and bring it here, and with the freshness and the acidity, I don't know, it's really blown me a little bit away here.
Yeah, I was really surprised of the freshness and how precise that Chardonnay is. Before we end this, I just want to ask you, what does the Norwegian market mean for you guys in Pecanino? Is it only a sidekick up north, or do you really look at the Nordics as a potential market?
We've been working with Norway for many, many years. It's for us, it's a small market. We work really well here, though. But yes, with the monopoly, it's always a bit of a struggle. But when I always come here, I always find really interesting people. They're really interested in your story. So it's always pleasant to be here. For us, at least for our winery, United States is still the biggest one. But working in the Norwegian market is always good.
How do you think about like the political thing in the United States? Is that going to make some troubles in your sales in the States, you think?
Yeah, we are still waiting for the decision.
Yeah, it's not going to decide anything.
Yeah, of course, it is affecting already a bit. But I think it's... everywhere is a bit tough at the moment, so we just need to keep up and be positive, I think.
How much do you produce here?
In
bottles, how many bottles?
We are around 150,000 bottles, yeah. Which are divided into three. Like Dolcetto is still the biggest, Lange Nebbiolo, and then Alta Langa is the third one, which is really, really big.
Yeah.
What do you say? Shall we just say thank you very much, Gaia, for joining us here?
Thank you for inviting me.
And really looking forward to follow you in the years to come, especially in Norway. And maybe we should take a small trip down to Piemonte.
You should come to Piemonte.
Yeah. Men Tom, dette var hyggelig.
Kjempehyggelig.
Ja, jeg vil si at syrligheten og freshnessen faktisk imponerende. Altså, jeg som akkurat har vært der nede.
Du som akkurat har vært der. Nå har vi sagt det så mange ganger, så nå trenger du ikke å si det, men du har akkurat vært der. Men syrligheten og friskheten, som vi sier på norsk, den jo helt den enestående. Det lenge siden jeg har fått en chardonnay som var så precis.
Ja, og poenget mitt med det at da jeg var der nå, så drakk jeg de lokale som jeg nevnte for henne, altså Freisha og Nesketta og alle disse her, og de mangler den syra som den har.
Ja, men det jo hele poenget med, altså det da chardonnay sammen med Riesling som ikke har smakt enda, men som nå begynner å få ganske store forventninger til, at de på en måte leverer på akkurat en syregreie som de andre ikke når opp til, sånn som du akkurat sa. Ja. Jeg synes jo Pecanino er et veldig interessant hus også, ja, da, for de har jo holdt på siden 1700-tallet eller noe sånt, og de vinmarkene har eksistert så lenge, lenge før disse her overtok, så det er ikke akkurat noe nybrottsland.
Det det ikke. Denne vi har trillet og smakt på nå koster 299,90. Det synes jeg er verdt, men jeg tror ikke det lett for dem å selge Chardonnay til 300 kroner i Norge. Det tror jeg ikke, det skjønner jeg kan bli litt utfordret, men det veldig god prosent.
Jo, men jeg vil jo si at hvis dere har lyst til å gå litt utenfor den standard Chardonnay-veien som i Frankrike, at man prøver seg rett over Alpen og tester litt fra Piemonte, for dette var bra, altså.
Ja, og hvis dere har lyst til å prøve litt bobler også, og jeg lurer på, jeg er ikke helt sikker, men jeg lurer på om jeg faktisk hadde det når jeg var der nå, så koster det på Polen 439. Det champagne-metode, så det jo ekstra kult, og det moro å prøve Alta Langa museerne også. Ellers har de jo disse gode rødvinene som vi ikke har smakt enda, som vi bare antar er gode.
Vi bare antar det, fordi når det litt sånn du smaker på en ting, også, og hvis den super, så regner det bare med at resten er bra. Det er sånn vi må si den nå.
Ja. Så Pecanino, Chardonnay, fra Lange til 299, 90?
Ja, synes jeg, altså, den leverer på så mye, så den, jeg vil si den er verdt det.
Ja. Med det så sier jeg takk for at du lyttet, takk for at du eksisterer, og takk for at du hører på Tom Amorati Løvaas sin Drinkfeed og Kjell Gabel Henrik sin Kjells Vinkjeller.
Ja, da sier vi bare ha det bra så lenge.
Det gjør vi. Ha det bra.